Clear the screen, shift the scene. You're the writer of this dream. Let go of fear, let go of doubt. Stop playing the version that pulls you out. Clear the screen, clear the noise. Choose again, you've got the choice. The story changes when you see. Anxiety came to set you free.
Welcome back to another episode of the Clear the Screen podcast. I am Melissa Dealey.
And I am Billy Adme, and this is where anxiety ends and abundance begins. We're so excited for our guest today, Ms. Isabella Meadows. She is one of the youngest NLP trainers that we know of, and we love what you're doing in the world, Isabella. Thank you for being here. We're really excited to have this conversation with you.
And I would just like to share a little bit of your bio. You have so many accomplishments. All of it is in the show notes for people to go back and read. However, just to introduce you to the audience, Isabella Meadows is a leadership coach, speaker, and entrepreneur who specializes in helping high-performing individuals and teams rewire how they think, lead, and make decisions so they can operate at their highest level. With a background spanning psychology, communication, and business, Isabella teaches leaders how to break through internal barriers, shift unconscious patterns, and create measurable results in performance, culture, and growth. And as Billy said, Isabella, you are so young and you have accomplished so much in your life already, and we are so proud of you. And I'd love for us to just start out with you sharing, what got you to where you're at now? Who was Isabella even just 10 years ago, 8 years ago?
Thank you so much, Melissa and Billy, for having me on. It's an honor. And to answer your question, I 10, 8 years ago, I didn't even know what I wanted to do with my life. I was still in high school. And, you know, I was thinking about what I wanted to do after high school and ended up taking the path that you're told to take, go to college and then get a good job and then follow that path. And so I did that. I went to college. I went to Arizona State University. Didn't even know what I was really interested in or what my talents or gifts were. But my dad suggested I study accounting. He said, well, you've always done good at math in school. Why not go into tax? So I said, okay, that sounds like a great plan. And so I started out, I studied accounting and I got an internship in tax and was working in tax. And I just remember leaving the office every day feeling a little drained. I'm like, is this really what I'm called to do with my life? Is this really how work is supposed to be? I missed talking to people. I just wanted to talk. I was the chatty Kathy in the office. I would talk to everyone around me. And so I missed the people. And so that got me thinking. And then I thought, well, maybe it's just accounting that's missing something. But maybe if I add finance as a second major, I'll enjoy that more. And so I added finance as a second major. And I worked at Wells Fargo for a little bit and just kind of same thing. Was like, there's something missing here. There's got to be more. And so I thought, well, let me add a third major. Surely the third major will be the one that I like and enjoy. And so I added marketing as a third major. And what was interesting to me about marketing was the psychology of it, the consumer behavior. And so that started to pique my curiosity and my interest a little bit more. And then how I got into this work was at the school at Arizona State University, we had this personal development center and they would bring in speakers twice a week, every week from different fields, different industries. We had a heart surgeon come in and speak. We had, at the time, AI wasn't out yet, but a leader in AI, and she came in and talked about AI. And so they would bring in all these different industry leaders. And I can still remember, it was November 2022. I was a junior. I was in my third year of school at this point, and came in, didn't really know who the speaker was that night, and just sat down in the audience. And he starts talking about linguistic ninja moves. I'm like, this is different. I've never heard of linguistic ninja moves before. What is this? And in the course of an hour, I watched him help. There was this young man in the audience who he had been in a traumatic car accident. And the speaker brings him to the front of the room and says, are you ready to release to get rid of that trauma that you're holding on to? And the guy said yes. And so we watched him in live time help this young man who was visibly shaking as he recalled this experience he had been in, to completely release that, to let that go. And he had the biggest smile on his face after that. And I remember just having my mind blown, going, how did he do that? I want to be able to help people in that way. How did he do that? And so he shared that he had studied neuro-linguistic programming. I'd never heard of that before. So I went home that night and Googled, what is NLP? We didn't have AI yet. So I just went straight to Google and I started reading into it. I went, this is cool. This is really cool. What? Okay, rapport and sensory acuity and all these things. I want to learn how to do that. And so sometimes when you have that intention, you put it out there, it's amazing how the universe responds, because literally a couple days after that, I got invited to go to this dinner. It was this entrepreneurship group dinner that was happening. And I'm at this dinner and this young man sitting across from me says, so what's your business? Well, truthfully, I hadn't started a business yet. I just knew that I wanted to, but I didn't know what it was going to be. And so I said, well, I'm still working on that, but you know, I just learned about this thing called neuro-linguistic programming, and it's really cool. And I want to learn more about that. And I think I might want to do something with that. And he goes, oh my goodness, no way. I have a friend who does that. She does neuro-linguistic programming. She does coaching. Let me connect you with her. And so funny enough, as luck, coincidence, as the universe would have it, because of that, just learning that a couple days prior, now I get connected with this amazing, she's also very young too. She was, I think, 22 at the time. And so I get connected with her, have a conversation with her, and she says, let me introduce you to my teacher, my trainer that I learned NLP from. So that same day, she calls her trainer that she had learned NLP from, connects me with her. I have a conversation with the trainer, and she says, well, as luck would have it, I have an NLP prac starting tomorrow. Do you want to hop in? I know you won't have been able to listen to all the audios yet or done the homework, but why don't you just jump in? You can catch up as you go. And so I just jumped in. I said, yes, let's do this. And I jumped in, and it was the most transformative experience of my life. I did that in January 2023. And that was the spring semester of my junior year. And at the time, I had been going through a really hard time personally. I was in a not so good relationship. And that training completely changed and transformed my life. I went from seeing myself as worth nothing, no purpose in this life, aimlessly wandering, wondering what value I even brought to this world, to just feeling so much more confident, and went, okay, you know what? I can do this. And from that point, my whole life, everything just started to change. I started a business, and I just started to see myself as someone who could do things in this world. So that's how I got into it. And once I did prac, I went, I'm the kind of person that I need to know more. If there's more, I want to know more. And so I did master prac, and then wanted to do trainer's training. And now I'm here in the master trainer program, and how I met the both of you. It's such a cool journey how all the pieces end.
Wow. I mean, Isabella, the fact that you're so young, a junior in college, walking around saying, what's my purpose? I mean, that is massive, because majority of us, as you know, Melissa and I are well into our, you know, middle age. That's when most people, that's why people call it midlife crisis. We call it a midlife awakening, right? You're waking up to all these questions that you have had the clarity to ask so young, at such a young age, like, what's my purpose? Because I know, like, when I was going through my 20s, I mean, my purpose was just to, like, you know, go out with my friends and party, because I wasn't allowed to, you know, like, I didn't want to go to the movies or go on a trip to Mexico or something. So, I mean, kudos to you, sister. The fact that you have this level of awareness already at such a young age, and I just got goosebumps. This is what, like, makes me very excited about the fact that I finally found this work. You know, after being a police officer for 20 years, everything happens for a reason. I know I needed to go through those things. But this moment in time, it makes me so excited, because there are souls like you that, and I think my daughter's one of them. She's 9. that they're here specifically for this work, right? Like Melissa and I say all the time, like our soul family is reconnecting. The light workers are coming online to, I'm getting more goosebumps. It's just the universe is like, yep, Billy, keep going. That we're finally here, you know, to shed this light on the world and to, like you said, just to remind people who they are, right? Because we have these relationships, the school, like the family, the media telling us who we should be, right? As you said, your dad said, go to school, get a job. You know, Robert Kiyosaki very well. Like, you know, I always joke that my brother's got rich dad, I got poor dad, right? Like I was the one that said, go to school, get a university degree. Except for me, it was because, you know, it was because they wanted me to get married and they want an educated girl, right? And so there was a different context for it. However, like the fact that you have this level of awareness, first of all, is extremely commendable. So, I mean, don't ever forget that, Isabella. Like, whatever happens in the future, which I know you're like, there's no doubt in my mind that you're going to be Tony Robbins level. Like, it's going to happen, right? And I love that you know that that's what you want to do, because knowing that you just want to help people and that you want to be able to serve humanity in the way that that guy, the linguistic ninja, did for that guy. That's what drove Tony when he was young, right? And because I've been watching a lot of his stuff. It's so cool that when you find that voice so early, because I didn't find that voice until I was I heard it. I just never listened to it. So the fact that you're listening to it is incredible, isn't it not, Melissa? Like,
it absolutely is.
We listen to our voices.
It absolutely is. And Isabella, I was getting full body goosebumps while you were sharing your story for so many reasons. And one of them, too, is the alignment between us that I didn't even realize we had. I did an accounting degree with a finance. I did the double major. I thought about adding marketing. However, I didn't do that. And so it was so fascinating to hear that. And I did it because I didn't know what I wanted to do or who I wanted to be either. And in my mind, I just thought, well, companies need accountants in good times and bad. So it'll just be a good foundation, right? And that's why I did that. And then I got into the corporate world and had a great job, loved it, ended up in sales and marketing anyway. And then the universe is like, enough is enough. You are just way too comfortable. And then kicked me out of that by having big fish buy little fish, and I was let go. And then from there, I'm like, I don't know what to do with my life now. That was, and I was in my 40s at this point, right? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I know I don't want to do the same of that anymore. Now this is a chance to do something different. How can I be of service? And then the universe gave me all of the breadcrumbs, which I followed, and it led me here. And so I loved listening to how you followed those breadcrumbs and how the universe was delivering them so quickly because you kept following. They're like, oh, she's on the path. Okay, let's give her another one. Oh, she's on the path. Let's give her another one. And that's literally what happens. And yet so many of us don't follow the breadcrumbs. We stop and we question it because it's different to what we've been doing before. And then we think, oh no, that's taking us away from our path, as opposed to, oh, what if I follow this path? This is going to take me farther and get me where I want to go sooner. Because we know that what we think the answer is, isn't necessarily the answer by what the universe is directing us to do. And there's so much more power there. And if we follow those breadcrumbs, we get there so quickly, which is why you are here at the beautiful young age that you're at, in this position in the Master Trainer program, and being able to fulfill your mission of serving others and, you know, using linguistics and becoming a linguistic ninja and more with all of your training to help others. So, yeah, congratulations on following the breadcrumbs and in your work, just encouraging other people to do the same.
So, Isabella, since you've taken this training, because I know you took it, you were like me, and I feel like you're like, if I was, you know, in my 20s when I started this work, it would be you. Because you did it all back to back, you took your prac, and then, you know, you started doing master prac and trainer right away, you decided right away, and you did it in a short amount of time. Now, you know, I know there's people that are like, well, I don't know, I should... I find it funny now. I need to process this first, right? And I'm like, what does processing mean? Because we know that once you learn it, it's in there. And so what would you, like, if you could speak to somebody that's listening and says, you know, like, I need to take my time, especially when you're younger, right? Like, I want to put this into practice a little bit. And I know you said that, you know, you have this insatiable curiosity. Like, I just want to keep learning and learning and learning. How different has, like, your life before you started, that moment you're like, I want to do NLP, to now that you're in the Master Trainer Program, which is like basically the PhD level of what we do, and you've done it such a short amount of time. How different has your life changed in that short amount of time? Because people think like it takes a while for their life to change, but it's not true. We know that, right?
Right. You know, it's such a good question, because I think it all comes down to the decision. The moment that you make the decision that I am doing this now, there is no going back. Because once you step into doing this work, you can't ever just go back to how things were, because you're always forever going to know now this way of thinking. And there have been moments where I have, because the doubt does creep in. You're not immune from doubt once you start working on your mindset, once you start working with your unconscious mind. Actually, I have felt that the temptation to fall into doubt is even a little bit stronger to pull you away, to distract you, because I think life will give you tests. Once you make the decision, I'm doing this, life's going to test you. Are you really committed to this? Because it's not going to be easy. I mean, I'm going to tell you, like, it's not just like a, oh, I just walked down this road now, everything's perfect, I've started to do this work. But once you make a decision, you will be tested. And so there have been moments where doubt has crept in. And I'll be honest, I started doing this when I was 20. The biggest doubt was, okay, is anyone going to take me seriously? I'm so young. Is anyone really going to listen to me? And so there have been moments where I've found myself pulled back into, well, maybe I should just go get a job. Maybe I should do what my friends are doing. Maybe I should do what my peers are doing, everyone else. And sometimes I compare myself on LinkedIn. I can still see everyone that I had classes with when I was doing finance and accounting and internships, that they're all now associates, Wells Fargo or in tax. And so I find myself comparing sometimes and going, have I taken the wrong path? Am I doing the wrong thing? And so there's been times I slip back into that, but I'll always snap out of it, because I'll go, I've seen now what's out there.
And you have the tools to snap you out of it.
Exactly.
Right? Because now you can release doubt with timeline therapy anytime those limiting beliefs come up.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the other piece to that is when you say it shows up a little bit more often because life is testing you. And yes, you will be tested to ensure that you are committed to the path. However, you also have far greater awareness when the doubt shows up, so you can catch it sooner and release it, versus is it running in the background outside your awareness, limiting what you're able to do in your life.
Exactly. Exactly. I love what you just said, Melissa, because it is exactly that. You would just have such a heightened level of awareness now to when these patterns show up that maybe I didn't realize before doing NLP. So to what you asked, Billy, how has my life changed from before to now after? I think it is that. It's the awareness of the patterns in every context of life too, not just professionally, but just recently I was having a conversation with a friend, and you know, something came up where it was a little bit of conflict, and instead of jumping into blame, this is what you did wrong, and which maybe in the past it would have gone there or would have just shut down and been like, well, she's just a bad friend, I almost was able to rise above the situation and take it on as an observer perspective and coach both of us through it at the same time and go, hey, here's what's happening. Our nervous systems are just responding right now in the way that we've been programmed and conditioned since we were kids. Neither of us is wrong. Neither of us is bad. Just understanding that we've brought out each other's emotional triggers and this is what's happening. And we both walked away from that conversation with an even deeper understanding of ourselves and each other. And it was really beautiful. And with this work, I would say one of the biggest changes in my life has been in the area of relationships with my family, with friends, and the way that I'm able to show up now for people is so different from before. Before, I would say I was very focused internally on myself and what someone had done to me or what someone was making me feel.
Island. good old Victim Island, being at a fest. We know that place well.
Exactly. But now it's more of getting curious of, I wonder why this person is reacting this way. What is it that's driving them to be angry right now? Or what is it that is driving them to pull away maybe right now? And so I think it's just being more curious in relationships. And before NLP, something I really struggled with in my life was making friends. I kind of was a loner when I was in middle school and high school. I really struggled, and it was something I was very insecure about. I was just like, what, is there something wrong with me? I just didn't really know how to connect with people. And one of my greatest fears was actually talking to people. I remember being in high school and I'd walk into the classroom and I would just cross my fingers behind my back and go, please, 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 no one talk to me today because I don't know what I'm going to say to them. And I was so scared of conversation. And so I would just hide in the corner. And so I think now one of the biggest changes having learned NLP is I don't fear conversation anymore. If you had talked to me 5 years ago, just having this conversation with the both of you right now, I would have been shaking my hands, sweating. I'd be like, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say. But now it's just the words just...
Now you're a linguistic ninja, right? I used to say this in my policing world because I'm little, like I'm only 5'2", and I'd be like, I use verbal judo. I don't use like physical judo. I use verbal judo because I want to use my words. And the spinning image of me is I was a little mouse in high school. I don't want to talk to anybody. And, I love what you just said there, that the biggest change that is made in your life is relationships. And that's why Melissa and I say that these tools, when you learn them, they're like life skills. It's like swimming, right? It's not something that maybe you need every day. However, it'll save your life when you need it. It'll just make it, more comfortable when you're out in the water and you can actually go to the beach and actually hang out in the ocean without freaking out, right? And that's what we say about life skills, is that it's going to help every area of your life. Not if you just want to have it as a, as a business, absolutely. It's a very lucrative industry to be in, especially in this moment in time, because the world needs, we need fast, simple, effective techniques. And that's what we do, right? NLP is right away picking up the patterns. Like you just said with your friend, if you can, again, we call that, the perceptual positions, like the eagle of quantum wisdom. Like, how can I just look at this situation instead of getting caught in it, right? Because that's what we do when we're in Victim Island. I get caught in it. I'm like, I'm over here and you're over there and we're just going to fight. And obviously, at the time of this recording, there's a big war happening in the world, which it's so clear for us to see. Oh, these guys are just little bullies. They're just, no one wants to back down, and total values level 3, like, oh, don't disrespect me and I'm not going to do this. And I'm, it's all about me and just getting power. And yet we understand where it's coming from. So you can still have compassion. And I'm with you with that, Isabella. Like, I used to carry a lot of resentment and anger and just sadness and, guilt and shit, like all of them, right? With the stuff that happened to me and my family. And that in itself was beyond a reward that I could do, that I'm doing this now as my work, right? That I get to do this work in the world, and that it's a privilege and it's an honor to do this in the world. And Melissa and I say it all the time, like, I can't believe we actually get to do this as a job. Like, this is the best job in the world, is helping people remember who they are. And it starts with us.
And what you said earlier about, every once in a while you'll go on LinkedIn and see what your classmates are doing, et cetera. And, it's human nature. Just see what they're all doing. And, sometimes we get into this place of comparison, which you've probably heard the saying that comparison is the thief of joy as well. Because in your heart of hearts, you know that this is your soul's calling. And we know that from hearing you talk about it, the passion that comes out in your voice. And if you had stayed at that Wells Fargo job or the accounting job, it would have just continued to suck your soul little bit by little bit every single day until it was the job that you hate, except it pays the bills and it gives you your medical benefits, etc. And how many people are in that situation, right? And they think they're stuck. And there's always a solution to every problem. There's a solution. And we just have to expand our neurology to be able to access the solution. And that's what this work is teaching us. And so, again, kudos to you for, right from the get-go, realizing in accounting, I'm drained. It's because it was already sucking your soul, right? And so I'd also love to ask you to share your vision of how you want to be helping other teenagers, knowing where you've come from to where you are today. And, you know, I love that you're a chatty Kathy. I love that your great big gorgeous smile, and you walk into any room and you light up the room today. And yet it's not that long ago since you were walking into a classroom with your fingers crossed behind your back asking, you know, hoping people wouldn't speak to you. So what's your vision of how you're going to take all of your learnings and now help teenage girls that are not that far behind you, that are walking that life that you had previously?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Melissa. It's, you know, from day one of doing this work, my heart and my why for why I want to do this is to be able to go back and help 17-year-old Isabella, because no one teaches you these skills in life. There's no manual instruction book that comes for how to operate our mind, our brain, or how to regulate our emotions. No one teaches us these things. You go through school and you learn about the quadratic formula, but you don't not learn how to regulate your emotions. And so my vision is to be able to help these girls in high school and young women too, to find their purpose and to live life with confidence, to know that they are valuable. That's something that I really struggled with when I was in school and growing up, is I didn't see one good thing about myself. I was just kind of walking around going, why am I even here? I felt like just a burden. I didn't know what I even brought to this world. And so I never want any girl to be walking through life wondering who she is or what she's even made for. I just want every girl to know she has a purpose. She's here for a reason. She has so much that she brings to this world. And we all have different gifts. Even with NLP, even though we're teaching the same content, we all bring a little bit of a different spark and flair to how we teach it, because we're all so unique. And the statistical probability of you even being born as you are is 1 in 400 trillion. That's what mathematicians would call a statistical miracle. Like the fact that you're even here with your precise genetic sequence is a statistical miracle. The odds of winning the lottery are 1 in 300 million, which means that the statistical odds of you even being born exactly as you are over 1 million times your odds of winning the lottery. And think about that. How improbable is that to win the lottery? How improbable is that for you to be here? I was just the other day I wanted to know what would be the visual comparison of 1 in 400 trillion. And think of it like this. It's one grain of sand. You know how small a tiny grain of sand is? If you were to take that one tiny grain of sand and you were to fill up an entire Olympic-sized swimming pool with sand and do that 10 times, that is visually what 1 in 400 trillion looks like. So think of that and realize that you were born for a purpose. You're here for a reason. You bring things that no one else ever can to this world. And so my vision with working with the girls is to one day have events and retreats in person where the girls come and they connect with other girls too, who are on this path, who are asking these questions, and realize you're not alone. There are other girls out there, and find those like-minded friends. Because I wish I had had that when I was in high school. I wish I just had someone to say, Isabella, you are here for a reason. You have gifts to give this world, and to be able to show me that way. And so that's just, I want to be able to go back in time and speak to 17-year-old Isabella, because it would have saved me from such a path of the pain I walked down. But I'm grateful for that pain, because it's led me here, but mm-hmm. I never would have ended up in that relationship that just broke me and devastated me. And I don't want any girl to ever have to walk through that questioning, is her life even worth anything? And so I want to have events for girls, to bring girls together, and working with girls one-on-one and coaching girls and helping them to see that purpose for their life. And then also working with parents too. And there's no instruction manual either that comes with being a parent, and every parent just doing the best they can with the resources they have and navigating it as they go. No one teaches you how to be a parent, but if we could share this work, these tools with parents. As a parent, you're your child's coach. You're your child's first coach and teacher. And so think about that. If parents had access to these tools, you know, if they were able to do timeline therapy with their kid when they're maybe feeling really sad, had a hard day at school, imagine the power in that as a parent, being able to teach your child how to fish for life.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir here, Isabel, because you know, like, my kids are young, they're 9 and 10. And when I started this work 3 years ago as well, the way it's changed how I parent them is so different. Because now, just like, I love what you said there. Like, I mean, so much, you say such great things, Isabel. I just want to keep hearing you talk. And there's so many times I want to like, oh, yeah. And then I'm like, no, just let her speak. What you said about, like, we still want to go through the hard things. And a lot of parents nowadays are like the helicopter parents. Oh, my gosh, I don't want what happened to my kid or what happened to me to happen to my kid. And then I remind myself that if those things didn't happen to me, mind you, like, I don't want the things that happened to me to happen to them because they were pretty traumatic. You can still learn without it being so dramatic, right? Although I know that I had to go through that because I needed to be the one to break the cycle in this generation, right? And so now I know that I still need to allow them to feel sad. I still know that they need to go through their own learnings, that if I don't let them go through hard times, that they'll grow up in a world being so kind of sheltered that there is bad people in the world. Not bad people, I should say bad energy in the world. And it's a matter of protecting your energy so that even when you go through that bad relationship, you can still come out of it and not question your worth. Because it has nothing to do with your worth. It's just, what did I need to learn from that, right? That's always the question. What did this teach me? And so even now, like with my kids, I'm so different with them. And it's almost allowed me as a mom to be like, okay, I don't have to be perfect all the time. Right. And I don't want them to see that I'm perfect because they need to know that I'm a human being, that I'm doing the best that I can. And that as much as, you know, I hear these kids that my mom never showed me that she was going through a hard time. I'm like, no, I want my kids to know that I'm busting my ass for them and that I'm working hard and that to give them the life so that they feel the appreciation. They feel gratitude. They know that they're blessed in this world. And even now with their emotions, if they're sad, I let them know that you're in charge of your emotions. Your brother didn't do anything to make you feel sad. Your thoughts of what he did make you feel sad. Your thoughts of what he did make you feel angry. And now I love it because now, you know, Melissa's seen them too. Like Amira and my daughter will be like, Mommy, I just have to scream. I have to go scream into a pillow. I was like, good, go do it. She's like, Mommy, I just need a carrot. I need to put something in my mouth. I'm like, why a carrot? Well, because I know you're not going to give me a lollipop right now. So I need a carrot. So I'm like, okay, great. And she has that awareness. And that's what I love is that, you know, now you're going to be teaching these teenagers just the awareness piece. Because as we talk about in our program, our Amplify Your Wealth, once you have the awareness, now you have the ability to make the choice. The choice to either start being on Victim Island and questioning your worth and blaming and na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, or be over here in Solution City and be like, my emotions are just messengers, right? It's what anxiety is about, is just reminding you, like, start focusing on what you do want. Stop thinking about the horror show. And the fact that you can bring this to the young girls, I mean, I'm just like, again, like, we'll just keep saying it over and over. We're so proud of you. And we're like, this generation needs it more and more and more. And I love that you want to bring it to the parents too, because that is a big piece of, I'm sure you've heard of Dr. Shefali when she talks about conscious parenting. And really, we know through our trainings that consciousness is just awareness. The more consciousness you have, the more aware you are, and vice versa. And so I love that that's your mission in the world, Isabel. Like, I mean, like, just like bow to you, sister, bow to you. You're more like my daughter, but, you know, still, we are all soul sister, soul family.
And also to what Billy said there in terms of you're not looking to do this to fix 17-year-old Isabella. What you're doing is helping create awareness for 17-year-old Isabella as to what's going on and providing the tools and the language and the ability to navigate it with greater ease and get from being stuck over here in Victim Island over here to Solution City, where I am empowered. I can look at every situation differently. I realize everything is happening for me to learn something. And to Billy's point, we don't want to take those opportunities away from other people. They need to learn them. However, if they can learn them with greater ease because they have the tools to navigate that learning journey, that is where you can help thousands of teenagers. Because let's face it, it is stressful being a teenager in today's world. More stressful than it used to be. Just the whole access to social media and, you know, let's talk about comparison being the thief of joy. You know, they're looking at everybody else's amazing lives on social media because everybody posts what's going well, you know, and maybe the occasional death in the family or a pet. Otherwise, life is glorious on social media and nobody's posting the inner turmoil. And so you're helping them navigate that inner turmoil. So yeah, as Billy said, bow down to you. Love, love, love that you're doing this. And if somebody is listening to this podcast and wants to get hold of you, what is the best way for people to get hold of you if they want to work with you and learn more about what you offer?
Absolutely. Thank you for that question. If you go to the website, theheartsweetouch.com, it'll give you everything there, way to get in touch with us. Also, too, if you want to follow us on social media, on Instagram, @theheartsweetouch, that's our username. And those are the best ways to get in touch. And we wanted, the reason I started this is I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted it to be a movement that we're all here to touch hearts. And statistically, you'll meet 86,000, the average person will meet 86,000 people in your lifetime. Think about that. Think about the number of opportunities you have to impact, to touch someone's life. Whether that's just as simple as holding the door open for someone, smiling at someone, giving someone a compliment. You have 86,000 opportunities to touch someone else's heart, and think about the kind of impact that you can have on people's life. And when you show up as your best self, you do this work, you work on yourself. That is an example and a beacon of light to others. And it's a ripple effect that we set off into the world. So that's the reason behind the Hearts We Touch and the name for it, that it wants it to be, I want it to be a movement that it's not just about one person. It's about all of us going out and touching every heart that we can.
I love that.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. So we will have all of that information in the show notes for listeners to access. And just as we wrap this episode, Isabella, thank you so much for coming on and sharing who you are and your great big heart and how you want to serve others. Are there any last words of wisdom that you would like to share with the audience listening today?
That is a really good question. If there's even just a small part of you, a small voice inside of you that feels curious, that feels like there's more, that you're here for more, don't ignore it. Listen to it. Listen to that voice, because that is your soul tugging you. It doesn't have to make perfect logical sense. Even if people around you tell you that you're crazy, you might be pursuing something that is, the world would say is weird or crazy or illogical or woo-woo. Don't listen to the world, really. You will be so much better off, so much happier, more confident in yourself to learn how to discern and to listen to that little voice, that little still small voice inside of you that knows what you're here to do and knows who you are. And there will be a peace behind it. If anything doesn't have complete and total peace behind it, that's not for you. Even if the world is telling you and everyone's in your ear saying, but this was what's going to make you money, or this is like what looks good on paper, if you don't have complete and total peace behind it, it's not for you. Because sometimes even the craziest things give you the most peace, that's what you should be listening to. And so if you're curious about this work and you want to learn these tools for yourself, Melissa and Billy are amazing trainers. And I just say listen to that voice, because there's so much to learn. Be curious and follow that path that's for you. You'll never
follow the breadcrumbs. It will never lead you astray. I love that. It was really so much wisdom. And yeah, thank you for being on here and for doing this for your generation and younger, because we need more people out there with, and don't ever doubt that because you're young, you don't have life experience, because we all know that we all do, because this is not our first rodeo. And so, yeah, the fact that you're here now to touch the hearts of that age of that age group, that's exactly your role. So yeah, don't ever question you're amazing. You really are.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you for coming on the show. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. And if you know someone else that needs to hear all the wisdom that Isabella shared today, perhaps they're a parent, perhaps they're a teenage girl, please share this episode with them and help us create the ripple effect that Isabella was talking about.
So much love.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Clear the Screen show. If you love what you heard, take a screenshot, post it on social media, and tag us, because we would love to celebrate you.
And if you want to go deeper, scan the QR code, check out our Light Circle membership. This is a community where it's going to serve you and uplift you and empower you, because when you end your anxiety, that's where your abundance begins. And when you can amplify you, then you can impact others.